Can you hear me? Good evening. Thank you for being here this evening. Always excited for the opportunity to talk about God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ and the things that we have opportunities to do in our lives on His behalf. 2 Corinthians 13:5 is where we've been all week, where we'll be the rest of the week, not only today. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says you need to examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And the question this morning that we asked is, how many times do we do that? Those of us who call ourselves Christians, how many times do we really do that? Do we do it once a day, once an hour, or maybe every minute? Do we do it once every 5 years or 10? Or maybe the question would be, have you been a member of the Lord's church for 20 years, 30, 40, 50, or however long, and you've never done that? Not an option. That's a commandment. Examine yourselves. As I told you this morning, as a marketing and advertising major, one of the things that they always told us in 40 years of experience in advertising marketing, it's right, every story has to answer these questions. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. And if you read articles in the newspaper or a magazine, you're going to find that that's exactly what they answer. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. And so far today, here's what we've done. We answered the question, who are you? That's the first thing we answered. Who are you as a Christian? You are made in the very image of God. You have been given life, and you have been told as a Christian that you are salt, you are light. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a peculiar people. You're the very temple of God, a living soul that is forever and ever that God gave you along with His Son who died for you. That's who you are. That's who you are. This morning in our lesson, we asked the question, what are you? What are you as a Christian? Well, you are a child and a servant of God and everything that that entails on His behalf, your time. How do you spend your time? We talked about that this morning. Your efforts on His behalf. The entirety of every minute of every day of the life that God gives you. That's what you are as a Christian. Lord willing, tomorrow night we'll talk about where are you, and that's primarily where are you in your spiritual life right now. Tuesday night, why are you? Wednesday night, how are you? And tonight, we would like to talk about when are you? When are you? Somebody said this is the worst time ever for Christians to be alive. There is so much sin. You can look outside and every literal thing you see, most of the time is sinful. There is so much sin. There is so much evil. It is discouraging to me as a Christian every minute of every day. It absolutely has to be the worst time for a Christian to ever be alive. And so then the question would be, do you believe that 2017, the time that we live in today, when you are, do you believe that we live in the evilest time that has ever been on the face of this earth? And thus the question, when are you? Well, let's digress a little bit. I'm one of these old fuddy-duddies, and I told you before, I don't have any regard for the news of the day. I'm not interested in it. It's just a bunch of turmoil and problems. But back in the good old days, before America lost its innocence, people, families, used to gather around the radio and they listened to radio shows. Some of you probably remember that. And you could listen to those radio shows with the family and you never had a problem. You never had a problem about what the story was about. You never had a problem about sex, cursing, any of that. It was just good, wholesome entertainment. And so I found a place where I could buy these little MP3s. And I got a collection of about 100,000 radio shows. Right? I love them. I've been listening to one on the way over here today. And you could listen to all of those, whether it's songs, music, stories of suspense or gun smoke or whatever. And that's the way America used to be before it lost its innocence. That's the way it used to be. And then we moved on and there was this thing that came in. And I remember sitting where you are, and Lewis J. Sharp, who used to preach here, said that his father said on the day that Lewis got his first television set, "Lewis, you're moving the devil inside the house with you." Let me tell you something, folks. I used to work at Channel 4 here in Little Rock, and I started out when I was 16 years old. And I can remember, vividly remember, when one of the network shows had a curse word on it, which today, in this, unfortunately, in this day and age, wouldn't be considered a curse word. And you know what happened? The phone rang off the wall. People threatened to burn the television station down. So what happened? What happened? But not only will I tell you that despite how evil people in this world have become, there is nothing new going on. Sorry. There's nothing new here. And as the brother read tonight about the smartest person on the face of the earth, well, you know, we would think that if we could find the smartest person on the face of the earth, we could learn a lot from him or her, couldn't we? We could do that. Well, his name was Solomon. And he asked for the ability to discern between good and evil, and God gave that to him. He gave him that and so much more. And Solomon gives us lessons on life in a short 12-chapter book called Ecclesiastes, which by terms means the preacher. He gives us lessons on life of Ecclesiastes that I believe all Christians today would do well to read it, to memorize it, to consider it, to utilize it in our lives as servants of God, especially when it comes to when you are. When you are living in this world today. Well, let me give you some examples. Here's what he says. In Ecclesiastes 1, 9, and 10, he says, "What has been is what shall be. What has been done is what shall be done. There is no new matter under the sun. Is there a matter of which it is said, 'See, this is new'?" Solomon says it was here already, long ago. Nothing new under the sun. The wisest man that ever lived. And here's what he says in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, "Everything there was to do that I wanted to do, I did it." He said, "I withheld nothing back. If I wanted to do it, I did it." And you go to Ecclesiastes 2. And by the way, if you go home and read this tonight, this book will take you about 15, 20 minutes to read. You need to read it every day. Think about when we are living today. In Ecclesiastes 2, here's what he said. He said, "Amusement," in chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, "I said of laughter, it is madness of pleasure. What does it accomplish?" What does it accomplish? Stimulation in verse 3 of chapter 2. He said, "I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely." He said, "It's all vanity. It just means nothing." Wisest man that ever lived said, "I built a lot of projects for myself." Verses 4 through 6. He said, "I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks. And I planted all kinds of fruit trees. And I made ponds of water for myself." Whatever I wanted to do, I did that. That's what I did. Oh, possessions, he had it all. He had it all. He said in verse 7, I bought male and female slaves. I had homeborn slaves. I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem." Look at what he collected for himself. And in verse number 8, when you talk about money, he said, "I collected for myself silver, gold, the treasures of kings and provinces, so much so that the queen of Sheba came to see all of his riches." And it said that she just lost heart because, "I never imagined that you had so much." Entertainment. He said, "I provided for myself male and female singers, 6, he said, I provided for myself the pleasure of men, many concubines. He did all of that. And we'll see in a few minutes what was his conclusion of all of this. Because you see, he is giving us information of when are you living in this world today. He gives us great and valuable information about how to live in this world today. Ecclesiastes 3 and 14, he says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God doeth it. And men need to fear before Him. He tells us in verse 20 of chapter 3 that we all go to one place. We're all of dust. We turn to the dust again. Remember what we said about ourselves this morning? We're just a vapor. We're just wind. He said, yeah, that's right. That's what I found out. Boy, we get to chapter 5 and verses 2 through 7. How many times have you ever made a vow? Let me tell you two you've made. One is when you were baptized. You made a vow to be true to God. That was a vow. Another one's when you were married, you made a vow to be true. Solomon says, here's what I learned about vows. He said, don't be rash with your mouth. And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. In other words, if you're not going to do it, don't say it. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. God's in heaven, thou art on the earth. Therefore, you need to let your words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, whatever that vow is, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are many vanities. But fear thou God. He says something we talked about this morning that he learned. Wisest man that ever lived. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. Folks, you brought nothing in the world, you ain't taking nothing out. You may get $50 billion, but it ain't yours. It's going to be left to somebody else. All the possessions you have today, they're going to be somebody else's. God may have given you the ability to get them. But as Solomon says here, you didn't bring nothing in, you're not going to take nothing out. He also talks about another thing we talked about this morning, and that was the brevity of life. How brief it is, for who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow, for who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? And then we come to one of those verses that you got to stop. And you read it, and you got to stop. Because you say, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense to me. And that's chapter 7 and verse number 1. When he says, a good name is better than precious ointment. I agree with that. It is good to have a good name. It's good to have a good reputation. But read the latter part of that. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. You know, I use that at funerals from time to time. And that's hard to understand unless you're a Christian. And if you're a Christian, it's easy to understand, isn't it? If you're living in obedience to God's Word, the day of your death will be better than the day of your birth. Here's another thing he says. We go back all the way to creation here. He says, this is what I found. God made man upright. Let me stop there. He made man upright. Man upright. Man was doing the right thing. Remember what we said? The Bible's only what? 6 chapters old? It grieved God. He made him. Because all of his thoughts are wickedness. And that's what Solomon says. I have found that God made man upright, but they have sought out, listen, many inventions. We're going to talk about that. We go to Ecclesiastes 8, 5 through 8. The wisest man that ever lived says, whoso keepeth the commandments shall feel no evil thing. A wise man's heart, he discerneth both time and judgment, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not what shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? You ever thought about this? You talk about in verse 8, let me read that. There's no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he hath power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. In other words, you don't have the power to keep your spirit. When you're going to die, you're going to die. When you die, that's it. You're going to die. And so have you ever thought about this? How will you die? You ever sit down and considered that and thought about that? Going to be a car wreck? You're just going to get old and die. What's going to happen to you? Well, you know, Solomon tells us how we're going to die. You ever thought about that? You ever read this? He tells us how we're going to die. In verse 10 through 12 of chapter 9, listen closely. He speaks to all of us here. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with your might. There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. That's where you're going. That's where I'm going. He said, I returned and I saw under the sun, the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. For man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. You want to know how you're going to die? It's one of those two. There ain't no way around it. It's one of those two. I have a grandmother, a great-grandmother, a great-grandfather. They died when they were 99 years old. You know why? Because they wore out. My grandmother Brown couldn't see. She couldn't hear. She had no quality of life. Time wore her out. Or chance, you look every day at the number of people that are in the wrong place at the wrong time. They didn't mean to be there. Maybe if they'd stayed home 10 minutes more. But Solomon says, time or chance. Time or chance happens to all men. He tells us in chapter 11 and verse 5 that God knows everything. He knows everything. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. And so he comes to these 12 chapters and he gets to the end of it and he's the wisest man that ever lived, and we need to get this free advice to help us live today. When are you? When are you? You are here. You are living today. And he comes to chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14 and said, here's my conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Did you get that? Fear God and keep His commandments. That's why you're here. Period. And this was the wisest man who ever lived. After he lived, doing everything he wanted to do, giving advice to me and you from God through His Word to us. And yet we say that it is worse, it is more evil than ever, that there are things that get in the way and there are things that get in my way on this world today that choke God's Word out of my life. You ever felt that way? Despite the fact that we are told to bring every thought into obedience to Christ, every thought, there truly is nothing new. It's already been. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and I'm going to give you a secret on how to deal with Satan, because Satan is your number one enemy, and if you know what your enemy's tactics are, you are better prepared to defeat him. Okay? Follow with me. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he, Jesus, was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered, Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into an holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If you be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written," Satan quoting the scriptures here, folks, "he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time they dash their foot against a stone." He quoted Psalm 91, 11, 12. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." And Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I believe Luke says that Satan left him for a while. This isn't the only temptation that he had. The Bible tells us he was tempted in all ways like us. So you think of whatever way you're tempted, Jesus been there and done that. The Bible don't lie, says he was. Follow closely. You see what Satan did here. Okay? Then we go to 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Because here's everything that tempts you in this world. Here it is. 1 John 2, 15 through 17 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Here we go. "For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Folks, Satan doesn't change his tactics. We've just been told everything's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's his tactics. That's exactly and precisely what he did to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in the temptation. He appealed to the lust of the flesh. He said in verses 3 through 4, Jesus is starving, he's hungry. He says, "You need to command that these stones become bread so you can eat." That's a lust of the flesh. He's hungry. He appealed to the pride of life in verses 5 through 7 when he said, "Throw yourself down. God has promised to protect you." And he appealed to the lust of the eyes in verses 8 through 10 when he said, "All of these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me." Nothing has changed. He has the same tactics today that he did then. The same ones he used on Jesus Christ is the same ones he uses on me and you. And you know why? Because they work. He's a master camouflage artist. He's a chameleon. You can beat him today in a temptation or a vice or whatever it is, and he'll repackage his product and he'll present it to you so pretty tomorrow. Nothing's changed except us. And here's how we've changed. We allow idols into our life. Idols are things that take the place of God. And here's one of them. How busy are you? How busy are you? Now I can look at your schedule, and guess what? You're probably going to show me that, well, you know, today, if the Lord wills, this is what I'm doing today, and tomorrow's this, and Wednesday and Thursday. Well, you know, I can do the same thing. I can tell you that I'm here through Wednesday night, and Saturday I'm at a vacation Bible school in Searcy teaching, and next Sunday, Lord willing, I'm going to be preaching, and then 2 weeks from today I'm going to be on vacation, if the Lord wills. But it keeps you busy. You see what I'm saying? And if it keeps you busy, it keeps you from doing sometimes the Lord's will, doesn't it? Because you know what busy means? Being under Satan's yoke. He will cause you to be so busy, He will choke the Word out of your life. I got stuff to do. I'm doing stuff all the time. There are too many conflicts in our life. And here's another one. We allow evil to come in our house. Remember what Lewis's dad said about the TV? You're moving Satan in with you, Lewis. The filth that comes on television is embarrassing to me. It's filth. But we say, yeah, okay. Or we got the internet. Yeah, that's okay. Satan's moved inside the house. Well, he's with us all the time. We got a cell phone. He's on the cell phone. He takes up our time. He chokes out the time we have to read the Bible. I got to watch this TV. I got to binge watch this. I got to do this or do that. Well, what about doing good things for the Lord Jesus Christ? Examine yourself. When are you? You see, he's doing what he's always done. He's appealing to me and you through the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. He enters thoughts into people's heads. People consider the thoughts. They think about the thoughts. They act on the thoughts. And then they try to justify their actions. Nothing's changed. That's what he did to David with Bathsheba. David saw her. He said, hey, who is this? He entered that thought. David considered that thought. He thought about it. He acted on it. And then he tried to justify his actions, didn't he? You see, nothing's changed. You know who that is? The Bible says that that is your enemy, Satan. 1 Peter 5 and 8. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He looks for them. And we say, with the stuff we allow to come in our television sets, on the internet, on our cell phones, things we read, things we listen to, we say to Satan, come on in! Welcome, friend. You know what that's like? I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't one of these guys that gets out and does yard work. I just ain't. When I was growing up, my daddy loved to do yard work. And I think he planted 100,000 hedges in my yard so I'd do yard work. But he gave me something to do on Saturday. And Dad wasn't going to go buy one of those hedge trimmers out there that was electric. I had them kind. And I just couldn't stand it. And you know what happened with that too? When I started doing them things, I told him, I don't need to do these things anymore. I got blisters all over my hand. He said, that's okay. He said, after a while, them blisters will turn into calluses, don't hurt anymore. And he was right. And that's exactly what Satan does to us. When we're willfully disobedient and we allow stuff in our homes that we know better, it's just like that blister. It hurts at first. You think, well, maybe I don't need to be doing this anymore. But after a while, that blister calluses up. It don't matter anymore, does it? It don't hurt anymore. Let me ask you a question, personal question. Who are you serving? Who do you want to serve as a Christian? You want to serve God or you want to serve Satan? You can't do both. You can't go with one foot in the world and one foot over here serving Jesus. You got to make a choice. No man, in Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. Either he's going to hate one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and he'll despise the other. You can't serve God and man. You can't. You can't. Where's your treasure at? I can probably go in. You know, I used to be able to go into people's offices when I was managing the advertising department of the Democrat Gazette. I'd go in with my salespeople. And I could be in their office maybe 2 or 3 minutes, maybe something not that long. And I'd look at the surroundings there and I knew where their heart was. All the pictures they had on the wall, fishing, hunting, golf, or whatever it was. And they'd say, well, you find that common denominator, that's what you talk to them about. Where's your treasure at? Because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. If your treasure is on football, baseball, basketball, hockey, that's where it's going to be. If it's on movies and all that kind, that's where it's going to be. But if it's in the Word of God, that's where it's going to be. That's where it's going to be. And then Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:33 and 34, He says, you need to seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness. And He says, and all these things will be given to you as well. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Seek first the kingdom of God. That was true back in Jesus' time, and nothing has changed. Nothing's changed. It's true today. You got to seek Him first. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, Jesus says in Matthew 7 and 13 and 14. He says you need to enter in through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. Are you listening to the end of this part of it? And only a few that find it. You know why? That's the devoted Christian. They're not interested in the things of the world. They're not interested in the pride of life. They're not interested in the lust of the flesh. They're not interested in all of these things that Satan brings in. They've learned how to overcome that. Turn it off. Get rid of it. Throw it in the garbage. If it causes you to go to hell for the rest of your life, get rid of it. We don't do that. But what we need to do is we need to do what Jesus said here. Matthew 16, 21 through 23 says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from Thee, Lord, this shall not happen unto You. And He turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind Me, Satan. Thou art an offense to Me. For you savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. You know, Satan believes in God. He knows all about Him. He knows all about Jesus. James 2:19 says, you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils believe too, and they tremble, but they don't obey. And if you're a Christian, examine yourself. Where are you? Who are you? When are you? There's a real frightening passage in the Bible that I think is a very scary thought. I find it in John 13, 27, about Judas. Judas is going to betray Jesus. Oh, he knew what he was going to do. And after the sop, Jesus said, it's who I give this sop to is the one to betray Me. After the sop, Satan entered into Him. And then said Jesus to him, what you do, do quickly. I want to focus on that Satan entered into Him. Has Satan entered into you? Through complacency? Through disregard? Maybe it's through unbelief. Has Satan entered you? That's a scary thought. But as we see here, it is not without precedent. Satan quoted Jesus' scriptures during the wilderness temptation. Does Satan know more scriptures than you do? But we don't commit ourselves to memory of the scriptures anymore. You know why? Because we don't study them. That's why. They're not important. Are you willfully disobedient? If you are, you are a pawn of Satan. When I say willful disobedience, to him that knows to do good and don't do it, to him it's sin. But I'm going to do it anyway. My mama's rule when I was growing up, you better be dead or dying if you don't go to church. You're going. I've heard her say to people that miss on Sunday morning, and they showed up on Wednesday night, and they weren't there Wednesday night. I've heard her say, if you stayed home Sunday, you don't need to go to work on Monday. Because you've done proven you're more important after the almighty dollar than you are after the almighty God. If you're being willfully disobedient. Willful disobedience. Which master do you serve? God or Satan? Don't fool yourself. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 it basically says, don't be deceived. Don't kid yourself. Don't you understand? Don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. But that's what Satan does. He is a liar. He is the father of liars. And he's got the rest of the world. You know who he wants? He wants the people in this building right here. That's who he wants. Look at Job. He wanted him. He was a righteous man. He's perfect in all his ways. A man that feared God and eschewed or stayed away from evil. Don't be deceived. And let me make one thing plain to everybody here tonight. If you don't get anything else out of what I've said tonight, or what I say the rest of this week, or what I said today, get this. Wrong is wrong, even if everyone is doing it, and right is right, even if you're the only one who's doing it. Let it sink down. Let it sink down. But I get excited and I get encouraged because I know how much Satan comes around me. Sometimes I'm driving in the car and something happens. I say, get away from me. Satan, get away. Go. I yell at him. But I love Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I can do everything. I can do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 through 13. You know, we've studied about all these things that hadn't changed. Same today as it was then. Satan's tactics are the same. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 through 13 says, all of the things we read about happened to these people we read about as examples to us, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, here's a warning, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And here's another wonderful verse that I take great comfort in. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. What does that mean? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. No temptation has overtaken you such as common as, except such as common to man. God is faithful, though, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, He will also make the way of escape so you may be able to bear it. When you are tempted, when you find that, whatever your Achilles heel is, then find the door and get out. Don't let Satan have dominion in your life. Take the escape route. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. James chapter 4, 7 and 8. It says you need to submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But that's the key. You've got to resist. If you draw near to God, He's going to draw near to you. Who you want on your side? Satan? He's not your friend. Or God. When are you? Philippians 2 and 12 says when you are. You and I are living in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation amongst whom we as Christians should shine as lights in the world. Examine yourself. When are you? We've shown you his tactics. Your enemies did the same thing to Jesus. Nothing changes. We have to be smart. Wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Do you want to go to heaven when you die? Have you ever considered heaven? You can't fathom it. Our minds can't comprehend eternity. We can't understand it. Everything we know has a beginning, has an ending, but not eternity. And remember what we said this morning. God gave you the gift of a soul that's forever and ever and ever and ever. But that soul is going to go one of two places based on your choices in this life. You're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. Don't let Satan send you to hell. Resist him. Get away from the temptations. Obey God. He loves you. He gave His Son for you. He said, obey my commandments. My commandments are not grievous. They're easy. But we don't want to do that. Because Satan says, ha, no fun. Don't do that. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, you can do that. You can be raised to walk in newness of life. And you can leave here tonight with the understanding that if you remain obedient to the Word of God, you're going to go to heaven when you die. That's a wonderful opportunity. And if you've done that and you've gone back in the ways of the world. And that's really, as I told you in this whole meeting, we're really not talking to people who are not members of the church. We're talking to people who are members of the church to do what the commandment says, to examine themselves, even whether they're even in the faith. And so if you've done things that are wrong, you need to repent of those sins. You need to turn from them. You need to move forward in your life. We pray if you're subject to God's great invitation, you'll come while we stand and while we sing.